For a scripture reading this morning, I'm going to go to James chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "You stand there or sit on the floor by my feet," have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong? This is from the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. When was the last time someone read to you? While I am in no rush for grandchildren, I want to make that perfectly clear, I do miss reading to small children. When Jane and Eve were little and I was in the throes of 80-plus hour work weeks, I tried to be home each evening in time for story time. I love reading children's books to kids. And if you know me, I'll read them to adults too. We were over at the Mulder's house for dinner recently, and they had a large stack of children's books, and Anna was kind enough to let me read to her. Of course, she wandered off at times, but reading to little kids is honestly the one place in the world I actually have patience. Anna then came back, and I would ask if she would like me to read again, and we would see how far we could go before the attention span of a child would be overcome with the need to wander again. In January, Maddie, Eve, and I made the trip to Idaho for Grandma's 101st birthday. 4-hour trip each way, Maddie read the book, Same Kind of Different as Me, out loud as the truck made its way down the road. We actually had to finish it at home once we returned to Ephrata. For roughly a total of 9 hours over a couple of days, Maddie read this book from cover to cover out loud. What had a bigger impact? The story itself, which I'll share a couple little parts with you, or having the story just read to me? When was the last time you were read to? Where you sit and listen as someone tells you a scripted story with characters, themes, questions, and answers. I don't want you to think of something like a play or other production, but just one person reading to you. This one person may or may not use voice inflection to make a point, or pause at the end of a paragraph as she contemplates what she thinks or she just read, leading you to contemplate more deeply the scene or idea that's just been presented. Same Kind of Different as Me is not a long book in pages or going to introduce you to complex theories. Key characters include a husband and his wife, their two children, and a key friendship with a single person that impacts each of them. This is not a book of endless pages of names and places that a normal person would struggle to pronounce, or with magical talking animals. I apologize to those of you who are Tolkien and Lewis fans. Though this book is set in a slightly strange land called Texas. Simple premise, really. A man is part of a process to rediscover or re-engage his marriage, goes to volunteer with his wife at a Union Gospel mission, serving meals to the homeless. Initially, it isn't his call at all, but his wife, his partner's call that is being answered. Our key three characters. First, Ron Hall, wealthy art dealer whose access to wealth and stature leads to infidelity and some questionable business dealings. Deborah Hall, wife, speaker of truth, visionary, faithful, compassionate, straightforward deliverer of exactly what you need to hear. Denver Moore. homeless African-American man, angry. Reminds us that history is hard to outrun because history is alive, but not always well. You can watch the movie, but as in most cases, there are details that you just don't get on the big screen. Here's one conversation, though, that is just as impactful on the screen as it was in the book. During one of the first meals that Denver and Ron share together away from the mission, Denver asks, "Why do white people do catch and release fishing?" After explaining how black people fish, Denver says, "I don't want to be someone's catch and release friend." Denver questions Ron on what it means to be a friend. Is there a difference between them where the rich man will be favored over the poor man? Ron, the rich man, and Denver, the homeless man, begin a journey via a meal and conversation that leads down a road that is unimaginable. These two people create a contrasting picture that upon examination shows us the reader, or listener in my case, the depth and complexity of a true friendship. For some reason, which I honestly cannot remember at this point, as I sat down to gather my thoughts on Same Kind of Different as Me, I gravitated to James in the New Testament. There's a complexity to the book of James as well. As I broke down the chapters, I found myself flipping between pages to compare what I was reading. The very last two verses of the book say, "My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins." So where is the line between listening and doing? When do we act upon what we see in front of us? James reminds people to be quick to listen, slow to speak, or even be angry. So when can I turn people away from sin if I know I need to give them time to be heard and cared for? As I thought about this yesterday, I was weighing out two different thoughts. One, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their ways will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. But on the other hand, a religious man does not mind himself in regards to the world, but lives out life as if all is done in the courts of our Lord. If the courts of our Lord reign for eternity, is time relative, meaning there is no fast track to saving someone? And is there a potential my perspective is relative? My position in this example comes into question. Will my arrogance that I am the one saving people come back to bite me in a rather tender place? It might. One of the things that James writes about, and he uses the word religion. What is my religion? Part of religion for us is coming to church and listening to the word and scripture and what someone has to say about it. Is this the extent of religion, or are we called to act upon what we hear? James is also quick to dismiss any argument regarding salvation by works. These two verses, "Those who consider themselves religious yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless." Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Religion that James is talking about refers to the outward acts of religion: giving to the needy, fasting, and public acts of prayer and worship. Meaning religion is to stem from our faith. While it would be easy to remind us about answering the call to service and taking care of those in need, I feel like we've all heard that sermon before. So as Maddie read out loud, I began to see that there was something else in this book for me to hear. Something about listening and not always being heard. In In James chapter 1, James says this, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Everyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks in the face in a mirror, but after walking away, forgets what they look like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." Ron Hall, one of our key characters in the book, didn't listen to God and focused on the world through dollar signs, plane trips, cars, and large homes. This led to a disconnect between Ron and his faith, but also from his wife. Time and energy doing the right things led to everyone else's way of thinking and distinctive living. In other words, the ways of the world. And I want to be clear. The book is not about money. In fact, in all of the book, Ron, he keeps his big house, his cabin, his ranch, all of his cars, just like he had before. Ron Hall says this about the true meaning of the book, same kind of different as me. "This is a story that's message is, it's not the color of our skin that divides us, it's the condition of our hearts. As Christians, we know that. In same kind of different as me, Denver's the one that says that. In his extraordinary wisdom, he figured out the simple truths that people just tend to overlook. That we are different. We are all different. But in the end, as believers, we are the same kind of different because we were all created equally to love God and serve him. We just have to learn to get our hearts right." What do your relationships tell God about your religion? Kind of an interesting question. One that no matter how you look at it, it seems to circle back on the other part. Relationships, God, religion. Do you listen equally with all people that you come across, not just associate with? What does how you listen to God tell others about how you will listen to them? We tend to go through life trying to be the person to have the answers for what we do, our work, the people we guide or oversee, let alone the next generation. But this book made me question a few things. Am I just supposed to listen? Simply introduce myself and listen. And once I've listened, can I start to ask questions? Looking for an opportunity to show someone it's safe for them to openly explore their thoughts, feelings, and ideas. And that I wish to not only have that gift, but also to share it with as many people as possible. So one of the ideas that I'm talking about here, I'm just going to call it out, arrogance. I struggle to say this out loud, but I'm not better than other people. Honestly, hard for me to say. If you know me, you know this is true. But as I thought about this more and more, what I will say is I have an obligation to be better every day, to reach out to others and help them, and not by my standards. And I think this is one of the key things that came from the book and from James. Not by my standards or what exactly I think that other person should be doing, but just being in relationship with people. Relationships should mean listening, hearing, processing what a person has to say. Here's another reflection by Ron Hall. "I don't want anyone to think that this film is about a white savior. That is so wrong for people to think that, Hall commented. If they don't know the film and they haven't read the book, well, this is about how a beautiful man who was homeless was one of God's special people that saved our life, saved our marriage, saved my family even. He rebuilt my relationship with my father and so many other things. He healed our city, brought revival to the city of Fort Worth, Texas. This is a great story of redeeming love. And all because Ron was slow to speak, quick to listen, then did he actually become saved. Final question. Am I willing to question the condition of my own heart? I need my mouth, my ears, and my heart to all be on the same page. Yesterday, Maddie said to me, we need the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You and I, we need all three. So I pray, let us open our mouths to be quick to reach out to people, but just long enough so that we can listen. Listen so deeply that our hearts, filled with the love and grace that only comes from the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, shines through to each person we are in contact with and in relationship with. In the name of our Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.